I'm bringing Hansel back. Yeah. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason with Adam Vingan. And joining us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, our friend Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we opened the show discussing the other 0-3 teams in the NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. And from afar, I am shocked by what I have seen from Trevor Lawrence through three games. I suppose the simple question is, what's going on in Jacksonville, specifically with their $55 million per year quarterback?
Yeah, I think he's not playing well. I think, he's missed throws and he's made decisions that you wouldn't expect out of somebody that was drafted when he was drafted and invested in the way that he's been invested in. And, you know, I think I definitely, you know, I had a number of his games in college. So I just, you know, remember watching him then, feeling like he was a great prospect. Feeling like his first year in the NFL, you kind of had to throw away because of the environment there in Jacksonville, what he was exposed to. And I think it's been a bit of a head scratcher in terms of what we've seen from him since. So I do think there are better days ahead for him because I think that he's kind of, you know, mentally made of the right stuff in terms of being able to weather the storm of the adversity. And I guess, you know, the slump of kind of how he's played. But he needs to start to do it, right? A little bit of some of the stuff that we've talked about with Will Levis in terms of, you know, I think the conversation last week was rewiring your brain to make good decisions, in critical moments. I think a similar thing has to happen with Trevor.
Tim, let's focus on the Titans. This past Sunday, Malik Willis had the best game of his young NFL career at Nissan Stadium as the Packers defeat the Titans 30-14. I think there are a lot of Titans fans that see what Malik Willis was able to do and view it as an indictment of the development that, or lack thereof, that the Titans were unable to get out of Malik Willis. In your opinion, how much should, if at all, Malik Willis's performance on Sunday against the Titans reflect on the Titans' player development?
Yeah, I think in some ways that's unfair. And I say that because, like, just look at the current group, right? Like, you have a brand new coaching staff this year. And so when you come in, everybody was completely on board with, okay, the starting quarterback is going to be Will Levis this year. Like, that's how we enter in with that expectation, right? Well, there's only so many reps. And then you also make a decision like, all right, well, we're not going to go into this season with Will Levis and then another young, you know, inexperienced quarterback. And so you go out and you sign Mason Rudolph. And so, like, while we can talk like competition and player development and all that stuff, like, the reality is like, it's kind of was already, the decision was made. And that's not unique to the Titans. Like, that's the same case, you know, pretty much everywhere. Look, I've used the Giants as a, you know, somewhat of a comp, you know, in terms of the quarterback situation, because it's like Daniel Jones is going to be their quarterback. So he just is. Like, that decision is made. He's not competing for the job. He's going to be their quarterback. And then the backup quarterback is going to be Drew Locke. Like, they signed him for a reason. Like, Tommy DeVito, I'm sorry, is not competing with him for that spot. And so, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at player development and competition, unfortunately, the way it works in the National Football League sometimes is like the decision is just made. And that's not an indictment on player development. That's just the reality of reps and time that you have to get people ready. So, you know, could you say, yeah, but do you want to keep, you know, Malik Willis on the roster? Sure. But I think there are a lot of people, probably myself included, that were surprised and impressed that you even got anything in return when you traded him. Like, to me, I think the rest of the league probably would have looked at Malik Willis as a camp, you know, casualty and a street free agent. So I think in some ways that's unfair. Now, saying all of that, like, is it a bad look and does it hurt to, lose to Malik Willis? Yeah, of course it does. But I do think that there's like another side of that coin.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Congratulations, Tim, on another victory this past week.
5-0 Innsworth Tigers teammates. The 5-0 Innsworth Tigers.
Oh, excuse me. The 5-0 once again Innsworth Tigers. They could possibly just be the best team in the state of Tennessee. But looking at Will Levis, Tim, why do you – is it just – the offensive line issue, or is it a Will Levis issue? Because it still seems like he has trouble processing fast enough to consistently play at a level that he needs to play at in order for this team to win. You know, it seems like when you're watching film, and I know it's different from a quarterback, you know, it's like, sort of like hindsight, but when you're watching a film, it just seems like either he doesn't trust himself to throw some of those short passes, mm-hmm. or he's just not processing it quick enough and not seeing it.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both things in terms of that. And I think that I don't think it's fair to say that the offensive line, you know, and or protection in general is you know, a problem. But I do think, like, I'll give you a good example. Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. Well, Sam Darnold's thrown 8 touchdown passes this year. He's played really, really well. If you watch this past weekend, like, they did an incredible job protecting him. And so if you wonder, like, man, why is Sam Darnold playing so much better? It's like, well, look, no one has ever doubted that Sam Darnold can make the throws. But he's just probably been in some environments that weren't great. And so it's helped him play really well so far. And so I think that that's always the case with all of these quarterbacks. I really do. Like, across the board, I think when you look at them and you look at, like, is there a true pocket? Is there space between, you know, the quarterback and like, there's pretty much everyone in the league, like, can make the throws. Mm-hmm. So I do think, like, the better that you can be at that, then, yeah, I think that it helps the processing. It helps seeing it clearly. It helps all of that stuff. So that can always be better. Now, I do think that then there's this other side of it, which is, okay, when it's not perfect and it is in your lap a little bit as a quarterback and you do have to speed up your decision and you do have to trust, okay, it's not there and so the ball's got to go here and this has got to be the clock in my head timing. Are there guys that are doing that at a high level that are masking protection issues? Yeah, 1,000% they are. And Will Levis just isn't at that point right now. He's not. And so I think trying to get him to play a little bit more like Kirk Cousins than like, you know, somebody that's trying to create, I think that's the right way to coach him.
Because I look at the example of you brought up Darnold, but I look at Dalton and Young, what's going on in Carolina. Yeah. It was a garbage show. With Young, but then you put Andy Dalton in under the same sort of situations, and it looks better. So what it tells me is not – even though the line isn't great, mm-hmm. it's really the quarterback and his ability to either not see the field or process it fast enough, because you bring in a veteran guy who's working under the same circumstances, but he manages to get the most out of that circumstance. And that's why I look at Will Levis and – I'm starting to think, like, listen, it ain't just the offensive line. It's him as well.
Yeah. No, I think that there's two elements, I think, of playing quarterback that don't really get talked about, but they're a way bigger deal. So the number one thing is, like, you got to be a traffic cop as a quarterback. And so what I mean by that is, like, so you always have it. And you know this, D-Mace. Like, you always have guys, like, as you break the huddle – it's like, what's it on? Wait, did you say slot? Or, like, where am I lined up? Like, what? Like, and so as a quarterback, like, you have to control the environment of, like, making sure that everybody knows what to do. So, like, you're a traffic cop. Like, you got young players, and it's like, hey, no, I actually want you to tighten your split down just 2 yards, because, like, it's going to make a difference in our spacing. And so I think that there's that element, like, that never makes SportsCenter in terms of a highlight or something like that. But it can be the difference of converting on third down and not. So, like, you got to be a traffic cop. The other thing you are as a quarterback is you're an eraser. And so when your left guard gets beat and it should be a negative play, but you just know where your outlet is, and so now you throw a check down for 2 yards, or you're able to, you know, play on time enough where the ball gets away and it's an incomplete pass, but it's not a negative play. Like, you being an eraser has just made your offense better. And so I think Andy Dalton is like the perfect example of that, of, you know, obviously he has the experience and the wisdom of playing, but like, he's a great traffic cop, and then he's a great eraser. Yeah. Like, he is.
Sounds like Levis, you know, those are two areas, if he could grow in, that could help him in a lot of ways. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, one thing that we haven't discussed a lot, and it's early, but it's one thing that is starting to maybe have people asking the question. With Brian Callahan as a first-year young head coach and a first-time play caller, calling plays from the sideline where his perspective in the past has been in the press box. You know, I think I probably am one that probably didn't think about how much that is on a first-year guy's plate as a change. I think he's dealt with it pretty well so far, but it is a lot, and it makes me wonder how difficult that job is.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really hard. Somebody is relying heavily on.
Are you talking from experience, head coach?
My 5 games of experience, I can tell you that, I mean, look, I'm not calling the plays, and it is a huge benefit to not be calling the plays. It's a huge benefit to be able to trust somebody that is calling the plays, right? And so, yeah, there's no question it's a lot. Now, I just guarantee you, with the guys that he has on his staff, that he's getting, you know, incredible support. I think this too, and this is where it gets really tricky. If Will Levis doesn't make 2 really bad decisions, and if punt protection is better, well, like, you're talking about 2 wins. And so, you know, I think that there's part of it where it's like, you can look at him and look at Brian Callahan and be like, oh, you know, they're struggling, and the quarterback, and like, oh, hey, this is really bad. And it's like, honestly, like, maybe he's actually been doing a pretty good job. And like, there's a couple of these things that have happened that, like, I don't care if it was Vince Lombardi, like, right. Like, honestly, like, those are 2 wins.
Yeah, and even you could point to just a couple of plays in the Packers game that they go different. You're at least in the game. Let me throw this at you, too, because we did a study last night. We went back through, the three of us, it was a kind of our homework assignment, and tried to find situations.
Hold on a second. So 2 of the 3 of you did it, because there's no way D-Mace.
D-Mace has come up. D-Mace had the hypothesis, I would say, right?
I had the thought, Willie, because they are the number guys, I'm not getting to the numbers that fast. Before I can even think about it, either Willie or Adam has the numbers.
Okay, so here we go. Here's the D-Mace
hypothesis. It works at Michigan State. Somebody's going to take care of that for me.
So the D-Mace hypothesis is in the – and I think I asked you a hypothetical like this last week of is there merit to the idea of, okay, slow it down for Will Levis, get off the ride for a couple weeks, and then we'll find a way to get you back on the ride, and hopefully you'll have a reset. This happens in other sports, right? Guys get sent to the minors in baseball. Guys in hockey get sent to the minors, and that's what you don't have in football. But it works there. That's how you develop guys, and they go through a process, and eventually you find out if the guy can play. But we had a hard – D-Mace's point is, once you go away from a guy, you almost never go back to that guy. And history has shown that that's pretty much true. There aren't that many examples of my thought of get off the ride and we'll find the next entry point somewhere down the road to get you back in there. It doesn't happen very much unless it's with another team.
Correct. And I think that part of it, too, is you know, the message to the locker room of like, hey, do we believe in and trust this guy? I think the other thing is, too, is like back to the Andy Dalton situation. The better that went for Andy Dalton, the worse that it appeared to be for Bryce Young, right? So it's like, hey, we still believe in you, but we just want you to come stand next to me on the sideline for a little bit, take a couple breaths, and like, let's just watch it. And then that guy goes in and plays great, and you're like, okay, wait a minute, like maybe it was you, right? Like that's also the risk in it. Like, so look, they just played out with the Titans. What if they say, a couple of bad decisions. Hey, just this isn't for good. There's going to be a reentry point, but we just need you to like come hang over here for a little bit, take a breath, recalibrate. And then Mason Rudolph goes in and starts lighting things up. Like now there's no reentry point, right? And so I think that, I think that there just has to be some caution because of that.
Tim, if you have any homework you would like to assign Derek, by all means.
I mean,
I'm done doing homework.
Teammates doing homework.
My days of doing homework ended the day I left college. Hey,
I can picture him at a Pilates class before I can picture him doing homework. Okay?
Tim Hasselbeck.
That's part of the homework, Pilates, okay?
It's part of his PE homework. Tim Hasselbeck joining us as he does every Tuesday. Tim, thanks for chatting. We'll talk next week.
All right, see you guys.
Yep.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us as he does every Tuesday at 11:30. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Tim had to say, but specifically one thing that Willie asked him about. I'd like to talk about that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.